I'm going to be reading Luke chapter 13, the first nine verses of that passage. So if you turn there, and again, we're reading from the ESV version. Hear the word of the Lord. There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered them, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." Over to you, Craig.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see so many of you are connected to us online. Quite a few more than last Sunday. Lovely to have you all with us. Before I start, I just wanted to explain to you a little bit about our decision to do this series. It comes because of a number of questions that are being asked and a number of comments that are being made around the world, on social media, and even in our own community. And so your pastors thought that it would be good to put our normal series aside just for a few weeks and to do a four-part series. So this morning and tonight, and then next week the same pattern, morning and evening. And then it'll be Easter, and we'll rejoice in the wonder of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, and then we'll get back to our series that we put aside for now. Well, let's have a look at this question. COVID-19, is this God's judgment? Well, the latest information tells us that over 660,000 cases have now been confirmed around the world of people with this disease, COVID-19. Last night, when I looked at the figures, it was 600,000. This morning, another 60,000. 139,000 of these have recovered as of this morning, and over 30,000 have died. Last night, it was 2,500 less. So another 2,500 have died in the world in the past 12 hours. These are figures that come from the World Health Organization. We know this disease is contagious, and we know the authorities are struggling to contain it. It is not only community health that is under threat, but also the state of the world economy. Some estimates are that 1 million will lose their jobs in Australia. And so when the pandemic is gone, it could be gone in a few months' time, we could be in for some years of financial hardship. I think it must be horribly stressful to be Scott Morrison and his National Cabinet right now. Scott Morrison and the National Cabinet, made up of leaders from both sides of politics, have this unenviable task of needing to balance the nation's physical health as well as the health of our economy. If you're reading online, in the media, on social media, you'll find that they face much criticism, and some of it is quite harsh. These are deeply difficult times. These are times that are unprecedented in my generation and in my parents' baby boomer generation. It is in times like this that you get voices arising saying, this is a special judgment from God. Listen to a letter to the editor of a community newspaper. To the editor, "Everyone's freaking out about the coronavirus pandemic, and I guess with good reason. I'm sure I'm not the only one who believes that this is a judgment from God. not just for America, but for the world, because the world is filled with wickedness. So that was written to an American community paper. The same sorts of comments arose, I wonder if you heard them, arose around the time of the Boxing Day tsunami in 2004. I heard of people saying that this was God's particular judgment on that part of the world, on those Asian nations, because of wickedness in countries like Thailand, of sex trafficking, and so God came and smacked them hard. These are the kinds of things people say. And so with COVID-19, the question is God judging the world? Is he particularly judging our world? Well, with the general question, is God judging the world? Let me give you a quick answer, and then stick around, don't get cross with me. I want you to hear the unpacked answer. The quick answer to is God judging the world with COVID-19, the quick answer is yes and no. Yes and no. Well, right now you might be scratching your head and think that I'm mad. How can it be both? Well, let me unpack it. Let me unpack this. Firstly, we need to remember that we live in a broken world. Our world has been messed up ever since the first human being sinned. Adam and Eve were warned that to rebel against God would mean judgment. They were told, rebel against God and you will surely die. But when they did rebel, they did not die. So did God lie? Or was God just weak? Was he like a weak parent who says, like the voice we heard a moment ago, go to your room, you'll do that, and you will be sent to your room. And then the child does it, and the parent then says, okay, look, I'm warning you, do that again, and you will be sent to your room. Well, if that's how you parent, then you've shown your children that your word can't be believed. Well, Adam and Eve did not die. But God was neither a liar nor weak. God had not said that they would immediately drop dead. What we find is that after they rebelled, trouble entered the world, and that death awaits the end of a troubled life in a troubled world. Deathly things enter the world, disease and disaster, destruction, decay, all these kinds of things. Adam finds now that as he lives in this world and as he tries to work the ground, that he struggles with nature as he tries to grow food. And Eve struggles with bearing children, and their relationship has conflicts in it. All of this tells us that our world is under judgment. It has come in response to human wickedness. But the general brokenness of our world is not particular judgment on particular people for particular sins. In Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 5, Jesus was asked a similar question to the one that we're looking at this morning. He is told of a horrible thing that had happened to some people. Those talking with Jesus wanted to know whether the victims of this horrible thing met this fate because they were particularly wicked. Pilate, the Roman governor of their land, had killed some Galilean Jews and then mixed their blood with sacrifices that they had made. He had defiled them. For a Jew, what had happened there was horrific. Well, what was the thinking of the people talking to Jesus? Listen to Jesus in verse 2 of chapter 13. And he answered them, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? This is their thinking. They're saying really bad things happen to people in this world as judgment because they are particularly bad. Is this so? Is this the case with these Galileans who've suffered under Pilate? Well, Jesus goes on, no, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus is saying, no, there's no difference. All will die under judgment unless they repent. These horrible things tell us that we live in a world that is under general judgment. Jesus' point, they were not worse sinners. They were just sinners, and you are too. And you need to get right with God. Then Jesus mentions another case of a bit of trouble that had happened in their time. He talks about a tower in the town of Siloam that had fallen on 18 people and killed them. We pick up the story in verse 4. Jesus says, "Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem?" Verse 5, he says, "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." The point is that none of these news-making tragedies are because the victims were under particular judgment. It is part of living in a world under general judgment. And so Jesus again says to those talking to him, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You will also die under judgment. But the grace of God is that we are warned by these kinds of things, so that we might repent, so that we might not die under judgment, and then face the ultimate judgment, which will be then that ultimate judgment where our specific sins are judged on that last day. While we live in this world, we all experience the effects of this general judgment that our world is under. On the 28th of December in 2018, a mudslide was triggered in Indonesia by an earthquake, and many were affected. Among those affected were 34 Christian students attending a Bible camp. They lost their lives under that mud. And so all of us are affected by these kinds of things that go on in our world. So do we have an answer to the question? Is COVID-19 God's judgment? Well, yes, in that it's just one of the many bad things that happen in our world. Our world experiences a range of troubles because of the fall, because of that first sin where human beings rebelled against God. Some of the troubles we experience in our world are quite light. Like, for instance, you get the common cold. Some of them are increasingly hard to deal with, like advancing age as our bodies fail us. Some of the troubles in our world are particularly tragic, like famine and pestilence. If you want to say that COVID-19 is God hitting the world hard for particular wickedness in our time, then you need to be consistent about all the other troubles that people face in our world. Wars, swine flu, tsunamis, volcanoes, locusts eating up crops. You need to be consistent and say that these are in response to particular sin in the world. At what point do you stop saying a thing is just part of general judgment, just the way life is in a fallen world? At what point do you stop saying that and then say that certain things are now a specific judgment from God? If a person is in a car accident and loses the use of their legs, then you need to be consistent and ask, what have they done in particular that they've been given this affliction? We've got to be very careful of saying that the hardships we experience in this world are because of some particular sin. COVID-19 is not God particularly judging our world for particular sins going on right now. But a day is coming when there will be a particular judgment for each of us, and we will face that. Just like all the troubles in our world, COVID-19 is a pre-warning of that coming judgment that we will all face. Let me try and explain that to you from Mark chapter 13. COVID-19 points, like all the other troubles in our world, points to ultimate judgment. Now, Mark 13 is a complicated chapter, and I'm not going to go into it all now. I've done other sermons on it before, and if they might be online, you can look for them. But Mark 13 has Jesus coming out of the temple, and one of his disciples says to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." Jesus replies to this saying, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." He is predicting the destruction of the temple that came about 40 years later under the Romans in AD 70. And this was a specific judgment spoken of by the Lord upon Israel for their rebellion against God. So God made it very clear that this instance was a specific judgment. And it happened in AD 70. If you go to Israel today, I visited there about 10 years ago, and you can see from the excavations that archaeologists have done, you can see the old stones of the temple, and they lie, not one stone on top of another. They're just a pile of rubble. And so it did indeed happen. Well, anyway, Jesus predicts this, and later on, while they are sitting on the Mount of Olives, overlooking the temple from a vantage point, the disciples ask Jesus all about this. You see, they cannot believe that this glorious building will be destroyed. And so, Mark 13 and verse 4, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished? They want to know this. This is a big moment of judgment for them. When is it going to happen? What will be the signs? Well, then Jesus unpacks what life will be like. And I think he's actually talking about till the very end of time. But even for them, verse 5, and Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines." In other parts of the Gospels that talk about this, even mention pestilences. Jesus then says, "These are but the beginning of birth pains." Well, if you've been around someone who's had a baby or heard about the whole birth process, when the labor pains begin, when the birth pains begin, you know that the end of the whole process is the delivery of a baby. Now, it might take a few hours. I've known some women where it's a case of the birth pains have begun. Get me in the car. We've got to go now. We've got to get to the hospital now. And sometimes babies are born in cars on the way to hospital. It's all so quick. But for others, it can take some time. My son took a long time to come into this world. And so labor went on for just about 24 hours. Jesus is saying that they are not to think that troubles in the world mean that the end is immediately about to come. That end, when judgment comes. He is saying that trouble will be normal. A little later, he uses a fig tree to teach a lesson. The lesson is, when you see all these things happening, all this trouble happening, you know the rest will come. You know the end will actually come. They are pointers to the end. So let's pick it up in Mark 13 at verse 28. "From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near." Those little shoots coming out as you walk around in the outdoors and you see the fig trees and the little shoots are coming, you know that it's indicating that summer is near. Verse 29, "So also when you see these things taking place, when you see these troubles happening in the world, a whole range of different troubles in a fallen world, a world that's under judgment, you know that he is near at the very gates. When you see famines," Jesus is saying to them, "and earthquakes and all these things, You know that the judgment of AD 70 will come. They didn't know it will be AD 70. It's just, it will come. What I've predicted about judgment will come. And that is a micro judgment. There is a greater judgment that is to come. And so the same is true for us. The troubles of general judgment that we find in our world, all the issues our world faces, including this virus that we're struggling with at the moment, they point to final judgment, to that specific judgment. We have been warned. After Jesus explained that the people defiled by Pilate were not under particular judgment, and that the people on whom the tower fell were not under particular judgment, he then told those that were talking to him this parable, and it's a warning. And so if you could go back to Luke chapter 13 and verses 6 to 9, let me read to you the rest of what Jesus said. He told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now, I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." Jesus is saying, be warned. He's telling the people these other occasions of trouble that you've seen in your world are meant to be taken as a foreshadowing, a warning about ultimate judgment, a warning about the tree being cut down. And in that parable, you see grace, the grace of God giving a chance to those who are around and alive to repent, to turn. A whole year and the digging around the tree and giving it a chance and putting in manure reflects God being gracious to people before final judgment comes. He's saying, be warned. If we are not bearing the fruits of righteousness, then we will be cut down. If we are not living under our God and His rule, then we will be cut down by that final judgment. COVID-19 is just one of the many troubles that plague our broken world. It is a sign that things are not right. It is one of the many, many troubles that have come because of human rebellion against God. It points forward to a day of reckoning that we must all face. What will happen then? What will happen to you when that final day does come? Will you be found to be a fig tree that is bearing fruit? Will you be found to be one who is growing in the Lord and following Him? Or will you be cut down? Because when the day comes, there's nothing. There's no fruit. The fruit is the fruit of righteousness that comes from Jesus. If you're following Him and you're trusting in Him, He gives you that righteousness. And so have you put your trust in Him? Well, if you have, then you are reminded by COVID-19 that judgment is coming. But you are safe. You are safe because you have the righteousness of Jesus. You have that fruit. But if not, what then? It's not too late. You're in the time when the vine dresser comes and puts the manure around the tree and works the tree for that year. You're in the time of grace. It's not too late now. What about you then, if you haven't put your trust in Jesus? I would urge you to do that now. I would urge you now to turn to Jesus. You might ask, how do I do that exactly? The best way that I can help you is to point you to our website, to under resources, to Two Ways to Live. If you click on that tab there, Two Ways to Live is an explanation, an online explanation of how a person can move from not being a person who trusts in Jesus to being one who is now trusting in Jesus and therefore safe. And that when you see all the various troubles our world goes through, COVID-19 will pass and there'll be other troubles our world will go through. When you see those things and they remind you that a final judgment is coming, you can then know, I am safe. Because when that final day comes, I'm safe in Jesus. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for your grace. You are the God who has given us a warning. You are the God who has given us the grace of the vine dresser working with the tree. Our prayer is that you would help those of us who do love you and follow you to be comforted by the fact that we have been made right because we've come to Jesus for righteousness and he's given it to us. But for those who have not yet done that, Heavenly Father, how we pray that you would move their hearts, that today they would put their trust in Jesus, that they would click on Two Ways to Live and see how a person can move from being out of Jesus to being in Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.